Let's stand together this morning for the opening reading. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it has been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chol, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, I am of Apollos, I am of Cephas, and I am of Christ. He raises the question in verse 13, is Christ divided? That's a good question, isn't it? He's talking to the Corinthian church. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? He said, I thank God I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius, lest any of you should say I baptized in my own name. And I baptized also the household of Stephanas. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other. And then in the verse 17 through verse number 25, he says, our answer to division is the cross. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved is the power of God. Father in heaven, I pray over my efforts, my labor this morning to preach the gospel, whether it's preaching or teaching. Lord, I want to give your word to your people in a way that they can be benefited, furthered in their faith, and the church be blessed. In Jesus' name, and all of God's children say amen. You may be seated in the Lord's presence this morning, and we appreciate all of our face audience that joins us as well. I'd like to use as a thought this morning, behind division. Behind division. Could you say that with me this morning? Behind division. Say it again. Behind division. I'm looking here just for a quick moment at what stood out to me. I can say several things, but what stood out to me was verse number 12. What I mean, he says here in verse 12, what I mean is that each one of you says, or you're saying, I'm of Paul, or I belong to Paulus, or I belong to Cephas, another name for Peter, or I'm belonging to Christ. Now, let me quote that again this morning. Paul is saying, what I mean is that each one of you says, I belong to Paul, or I belong to Apollos, or I belong to Cephas, another name for Peter, or I belong to Christ. Now, that was the trouble at the Corinthian church. That was the trouble at the Corinthian church. He said, some of you are saying, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Cephas, or I'm of Christ. So I see they was divided up here over ministries. Some really appreciated Paul's ministry. And keep in mind, Paul was the one that went to the slave market and dug this church out. Paul was the one that wrote 13 of the 27 epistles in the New Testament. Paul was the man that had revelation from God. Paul was the man that was noted to be the greatest missionary ever lived, apart from Christ. So some were saying they were of Paul. Others were saying, yeah, we like Apollos. And others were saying, we like Peter. And there was others, and some were saying, we like Christ. Now, there was the trouble at Corinth. These were not schisms yet. They had not split off into other congregations yet, but there were four cliques or four factions within the congregation. There were, first of all, the lawless who said, "We are of Paul. Paul started this church. We came to life in Christ by Paul under his ministry. And Paul is the one we're going to listen to above all others. We're going to listen to Paul." So undoubtedly, there was a big group that followed Paul. Now, if Paul wasn't preaching, they weren't there, because they were followers of Paul. Let me bring it back to your attention. Paul, there's never been a greater preacher since Christ than the Apostle Paul. Paul had revelation from God. He had revelation from God to the point that he had heard words unlawful for him to utter. He had revelation of God and the Holy Scripture like no other. A great man. And we celebrate that. He dug this church out. And so some was saying, if Paul ain't preaching, I'm not going to be there. If Paul ain't preaching, don't count me in. And then, of course, you know, it didn't stop there. It didn't stop there. I'm talking about the division, what's behind the division. In the Corinthian church, then there was the stylist. There was the stylist. Those who were attracted by the different kinds of preaching. And they had especially been drawn to Apollos. If you read Acts chapter 18, verse number 26, he was mighty in the scripture. Apollos was a scriptorian. I mean, he was a mighty preacher. So there was the stylist. Those who were attracted by the different kinds of preaching, and they had especially been drawn to Apollos. You know, so we see here that they loved to hear Apollos. Apollos was their preacher. Apollos was their man of God. If Apollos wasn't preaching, their heart wasn't in it. You couldn't count on them. They were saying he's a great preacher, and he was. He's warm, and he was. He's capable, and he was. He's an eloquent man, and he was. Who can make the Old Testament come alive like Apollos? Apollos knew the scripture. Apollos was a great speaker. He was a great oratorial type preacher, and they loved to hear Apollos. And if Apollos wasn't preaching, they weren't in to the service. How many of you realize this is happening in the body of Christ today, not just in one church or this church or the church down the street or across America, but this is happening in the body of Christ today? If my favorite preacher isn't on the floor, don't count me in. This was what was behind the division in the Corinthian church. So it didn't stop there. It didn't stop there. Then there were the traditionalists. And there always are the traditionalists. Those that say, well, I don't know about Paul or Apollos. I don't know about them two. Let's get back to the beginnings. Let's go back to Jerusalem. We are of Cephas. Another name for Peter. We are of Peter. Peter evidently had been through Corinth and had preached there at Corinth and gained some favor or some fame there at Corinth. So they said, the traditionalists said, when Peter came, we really felt that we were on solid ground, especially when Peter mounted that pulpit. We felt that we were on solid ground. After all, they were saying he was the first apostle that Jesus himself called. He was the first one. He was one of the three sons of thunder. So they were splitting, and they were arguing, and they were quarreling over the relative merit and authority of these various preachers and teachers in the Corinthian church. So some were saying, we support Paul. Others were saying, we support Apollos. He's a mighty speaker. Paul probably wasn't near the oratorial type preacher that Apollos was. Paul didn't have the frame or the appearance that Apollos had, but Paul had revelation from God. Paul was an apostle called out of due season. Apollos was a great man, great preacher. So was the apostle Peter, a great preacher. Amen. They're all great men of God, called of God. Men that's got ministry anointing and ministry capability in their lives. But the Corinthians, who Paul went to the slave market and dug a lot of them out of the slave trades. They had masters. They knew how to say yes, sir, and no, sir. Yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am. Amen. They were delivered by Christ out of slavery, and they are a gifted people. They are a gifted people by the Holy Spirit of God. But this gifted people with these gifted ministries, they become divided over the ministries. Now, let me say it's not just over preaching, teaching, exhorting. As well, sometimes it's over music, over singing, over other spiritual works of the church, people get sideways over these things that they should not. Then, of course, there was the fourth group. I talked to you about Paul. I talked to you about Apollos. I talked to you about Peter. But then there was a fourth group. And that was the group that said, we are of Christ. Hey, we're the ones that's got it. We got the real deal, man. We're of Christ. I don't know who you about, but we're of Christ. There was still, I said, the fourth group, and in some ways I think they were probably the worst group. They were drawing themselves up and saying, well, you may be of Paul, or of Peter, or of Apollos, but we are of Christ. We go back not to just Peter, we go not back to just Jerusalem, we go back to Christ, the engine of the long train of faith heroes. We are of Christ. What he says we'll listen to, not Paul, not Peter or anyone else. It makes no difference to us what they say. With that spirit of self-righteous smugness, they were separating from the rest, dividing up the congregation, and quarreling with one another over these ministries. Somebody ought to say, praise the Lord, preacher. This don't just happen in one church. This happens in churches across the world, especially where God's got his hand heavily upon a work for outreach, for teaching, for training, for mentoring, for developing God's wonderful people. How many of you realize God, no matter how great the preacher is, No matter how much revelation he's got, how good of a name, and how good of a reputation he's got, God is still using multiple ministries today. What was it the Bible said in the book of Ephesians? He called some to be apostles. Let's do it on the hand here. Some to be apostles, that's the thumb. It touches all the other ministries. Some are called to be apostles. Some are called to be prophets. That's the index finger, the pointing finger. Different styles of ministry. Some are called to be evangelists. That's the long finger. I mean, that's the farthest reaching. Some are called to be pastors, like I am. That's the ring finger. That's the marriage finger. That's, they say that ring finger is the finger that ladies use to put on makeup. I don't know, but I've been told that. It's the softest touch. And then, of course, there's the little pinky. That is the teaching ministry. But notice Paul said, some are called to be apostles. Some are called to be prophets. Some are called to be evangelists. Some are called to be pastors. Some are called to be teachers. Notice, for the perfecting of the saints, till we all come into the unity of the faith, that we no longer be tossed to and fro, scattered about by every wind of doctrine that comes down the pike. This is why I say you need to be a member of a solid Bible, biblical church where there is a man of God that loves God and loves God's people and is about the Father's business and raising up ministries of the cross. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Now, let me bring back to your attention, as I talk to you about this passage of Scripture, there's a reason why the Lord gave four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, was because it took all four Gospels to give an accurate account of Christ's ministry. It took all four Gospels. It took all four writers to give the accurate account of who Christ is and what Christ did and how Christ gave his life a ransom for many. It took four. In a local church, it takes more than one ministry. It takes several ministries to bring the complete word of Christ to God's people. He's not just about one ministry. He's about several ministries. If you'd read Romans 16 alone, in that one chapter, Romans 16, there Paul had 26 ministries in that one chapter. And I'd say probably, I'm really throwing this off the top of my head here, I could be a little inaccurate, but probably Paul had maybe 60 ministries in the New Testament. 27 books in the New Testament. What is it, 39 in the Old, 27 in the New. Paul wrote 13 of the apostles' epistles in the New Testament. But Paul had ministries that traveled with him. Missionaries like Gaius that traveled with him, and several others. Paul had Timothy, had Titus, he had John the Revelator. There were several in his ministry. And so I'm saying this morning, we're not about one ministry here. We're about raising up ministries in this house, in this body of Christ, that we can serve this body of Christ, I mean with efficiency, that they no longer be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine that comes down the pike by false ministries. And believe me, there is negative ministries today. And so we want to anchor our people in the love of God, anchoring our people in the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Now, when I say they raise the question here, is Christ divided? Is Christ chopped up and divided up among you? That was the question Paul raised. He raised the question. He said, is Christ divided? He said, was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? The first thing Paul says is, division chops Christ up and tries to parcel him out as though his person and his work came in various packages. Paul said, is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Was Apollos crucified for you? Was Cephas crucified for you? No. It was Christ who died. It was Christ who gave his life a ransom for many. Amen. So in the body of Christ, there are many speakers. There's many that make a contribution to the work of God. And we should understand that God has got his hand upon the ministry of reconciliation in the body of Christ. Could somebody say praise the Lord this morning? I thought that was a good question that Paul raised. Is Christ divided? Then he went on to say, was Paul crucified for you? Let me tell you something. That is an important question to raise today. Was Paul crucified for you? Was Wayne crucified for you? Was Ron McCullough crucified for you? Was any of these other preachers around here or the world crucified for you? No. They were saved because of one blood. We're one people by one blood. And that one blood is Jesus Christ and him crucified. His blood was innocent blood, incorruptible blood, holy blood. It was God's blood. It wasn't the blood of an angel. It wasn't the blood of a holy man. It was God's blood. It was perfect blood, sinless blood. And that's why we're saved. That's why we're born again. Amen. And that's what the ministry is all about today. We preach Christ and him crucified. To the Jews, it was a stumbling block. To the Greeks, it was foolishness. But unto us, it's the power of God. It's the power of God. Amen. It's the power of God. Just felt like preaching this for just a few moments this morning. You know, I like to say it this way. There's not a single preacher. There's not a single preacher that ever lived who in him of himself can forgive one sin. Not one. There's not a single preacher or teacher who ever lived on his own that can heal one broken heart. Or supply energy and adequacy to someone who feels worthless and unable to function in society, not one. There's not one preacher who can heal one disease or one sickness on his own. We are ambassadors of Christ. We preach Christ. When people get blessed, when people get saved, when people get healed, when a miracle happens, it's because Christ did it. We might have told them about it. We might have preached it. We have the ministry of reconciliation. But if Christ don't heal, if Christ don't save, if Christ don't do the miracle, if Christ don't do it, it isn't ever going to happen. I don't care who's on the floor. Feel like preaching this morning? Now, that's putting your finger on it. That's telling you just exactly how it is. Hallelujah. Then he goes on to say, in verse number 13 through 16, were you baptized in the name of Paul? I'm thankful that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius, lest any of you should say that I was baptizing in my own name. Then he thinks of another group they baptized. That was a household of Stephanus. Paul said, beyond that, I don't know whether I baptize anyone else. Now, here the apostle makes very clear that the tendency among groupies is to distort the meaning of symbolisms or symbols. They take an innocent teaching medium, in this case baptism, and make it into an identification badge. The scripture asks the question here, was Paul baptized for you? Paul said, I thank God I baptized none of you, just a few here. And certainly, I didn't baptize in my own name. You know how we baptize? We baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We baptize in Jesus' name. We baptize people into the body of Christ because of their profession of faith in Christ. It's Christ's name that we baptize people. We are Trinitarians. We baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Book of Acts. You know, several baptized in Jesus' name, but we're Trinitarians. That's how we do it. I'm getting ready to come to a close here. But I'd like to close with the cross. I'd like to close my message here this morning with the cross. How many of you love the cross? That old rugged cross they opened up with it this morning. I love that song. The old rugged cross. Let me say, is it well that we should think sometimes of the upper room? It's well that we should think sometimes of the upper room and that we should think sometimes of the Last Supper. We should think of his soul being exceeding sorrowful unto death. Speaking of Gethsemane, and the deep olive trees, thinking of his loneliness, thinking of his prayers, thinking of his disappointment with his disciples, thinking of his bloody sweat, thinking of the traitor's kiss, the binding of his hands and his feet, the blow, the slap, the blow in the face, the spitting, the spittle, the buffeting, the mocking, the scourging, the cross, the crown of thorns, the smiting, the sorrowful way, and the burdensome cross, thinking of the exhaustion and collapse, the stripping, the impaling, and the jeers of the foes, and the flight of his friends, the hours of the cross, 6 hours on the cross. Darkness covered the earth. The sun refused to shine. A resurrection took place. People began to get out of their graves. The darkness, his being forsaken of God, his thirst, and the end. How many people thinks about the old rugged cross? 1 Corinthians 1:18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. To them that perish is foolish. But unto us which are saved is the power of God. Anytime a church departs from the preaching of the cross, they've made great error. no human, no man can save himself.